You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, men, welcome back to the podcast. Pastor John here with you today. And today we're in our second episode of exploring what does it really mean to work as unto the Lord. That is a command that we're given in Colossians chapter 3. And so how do we glorify God in our labor? And this is a question that all of us should ask. You know, not just if you're in vocational ministry, regardless of what you do for work, are we bringing honor and glory to God through our work? I really think that's the foundational part of working unto Him is, are we bringing Him honor and glory by our labor? And so if you missed the first episode of this series, I want to encourage you, go back and listen to that first, because we talked a lot about getting your mind right about work in the first place. We saw that work is good. We were created to work. It's part of how we are wired. Work is not a result of the fall. Now, frustrating work is a result of the fall. Yeah, I think before sin entered the world, there was no frustration in Adam's work. We saw that hard work is good. It's, again, part of how we were created in the image of God. God worked. God created. And then we also talked about the balance of work and rest and really how valuable that is. That was the first episode. So again, I'd encourage you to go back, dig deeper into that if you missed that. And then today we're going to try and go deeper into this topic. We're going to cover a lot of different scripture this morning. And so one of the first things I just want to tackle is we should work with a grateful heart. Working unto the Lord means that we work with a spirit of gratitude. We're thankful for work. We're thankful for the way it provides for us. We're thankful that we're healthy enough to engage in work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Paul gives us this command. It's not a suggestion, guys. It's a command. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always. It doesn't say, you know, rejoice outside of your 9-to-5 or rejoice on Sundays when you're worshiping the Lord in song. Rejoice on vacation. Rejoice always. So that would obviously include our time at work. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances, that would include work. And Paul says, this is God's will for us. The will of God for you and your life is that you would be joyful and you would be grateful. Men, when was the last time you were grateful for your job? Now, that doesn't mean we have to ignore problems at our job. It doesn't mean we can't want things to be improved. But just overall, do you have a spirit of gratitude at work? Or do you have a spirit of grumbling and complaining? Do you have a spirit of appreciation? Or would most of the people at your work think he can't wait until he gets out of here every night? He's just sick of this place. That's not a good attitude for us to have. That's not something that's going to honor God. That's not working as unto him. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'll bet many of us present petitions to the Lord regarding our job, as we should. And we ask for more money. We ask for a better boss. We ask for guidance on whether we should take a new position or take a position at a new company. We ask God to help the company that we work for to be profitable so that they can stay in business. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Those are all great prayers to pray, but do we lift them up with thanksgiving? Do we start out by thanking God for our job, thanking Him that He has provided for us through that job, thanking Him that He's given us the ability, the talents, the giftings to do the work that He's given us? This verse talks about anxiety, right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, do not be anxious about anything. I would expect for many men that work is the source of as much anxiety in their life as probably anything else. I mean, our kids certainly create anxiety. Sometimes health issues do. Our marriage can. But I think for a lot of men, work is the biggest source of anxiety. So are you presenting those concerns related to work to God? That's number one. And number two, are you presenting those concerns to God again with thanksgiving? Do we have a spirit of gratitude? Now, those two passages, the 1 Thessalonians passage and the Philippians passage, aren't really in the context specifically of the workplace. Now, I think certainly though they apply to the workplace, I don't think we would exclude the workplace, but let me give you a couple of verses that are more focused specifically on our labor, or as these passages present it, on our toil. And these come from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Solomon says, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. When we find satisfaction in something, we're thankful for it. I think there's a direct link here to doing our work with gratitude, to being thankful for work. Ecclesiastes 5:18 carries this same idea. Solomon says, this is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them. Solomon was known as the wisest king on earth, and Solomon recognized the value of finding satisfaction in our work. We should be thankful that we can be productive. Meaningful work, as we discussed in the last episode, it's an important function of how God created us. And so when we find ourselves able to work, we should be thankful for that. And again, we can be thankful for how the revenue that that work produces meets the needs of our family, meets, you know, our personal needs. We can be thankful that God has given us the talents and abilities that we use in that job. And just simply thankful enough that we're healthy, right? That we can work. I talk to many people through benevolence requests that we get at our church, and some of those are not legitimate. Some of those people should be working, but in many of those cases, they cannot work. They're not physically able to work. And I can tell you, it's not just the financial burden that that puts on people when they're not healthy enough to work. There's an emotional burden. It's hard. They have to get to the point where they recognize, you know, God's working in that situation even. They can trust that God is good. They can trust that there's a reason that they're not working, but it is hard. And I think particularly for men, we're just wired to want to be productive. So the first way that we can honor the Lord in the way that we work, and we can work as unto Him, is let's do it with a spirit of gratitude. The second thing I want to talk about is that work can become an idol. Work is good, but like other good things, it can become an idol. Some of the easiest ways for us to get sucked into worshiping an idol is good things. It's not a little wooden statue like you might think of when you think of an idol. It's things like family. Family is amazing. We should love our family, but family can become an idol if we put it on a higher priority than God. Our physical health. Our physical health is important. We should work to be healthy, but we can make that an idol. And just like those things, work is a good thing, but if we make it the most important thing, it becomes an idol. Matthew 6:33, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, seek first his kingdom, meaning God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And he had just talked to his listeners about not worrying about what they will wear or the food that they will eat, and that God's going to take care of them. God's going to meet their needs. And then he challenges them, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these other things will be given to you as well. Men, do you pursue God as hard as you pursue success at work? I want you to think about the time and the energy you devote to work, do you pursue God that hard? Now, granted, I mean, nobody works a 40-hour work week anymore. Most all of us are working 50, if not more, hours. There's a guy I meet with regularly that, to support his family, is working 2 full-time jobs right now. He's working 80 hours a week. Now, I don't think that's going to be healthy in the long term, but, you know, that's what he's got to do for right now. So I'm not saying that you should spend more time in your Bible than you do working, but do you have the same intensity when you are spending time in God's Word? Do you have the same sense of purpose? Are you driven to pursue God? Are you looking for opportunities to be involved in His kingdom, even at your secular job? Another good question to ask yourself is, do you draw your identity from your work, or do you draw your identity from your relationship with Jesus? What's more important to you, success at work or building the kingdom of God? Again, hard work is good, and sometimes you are going to get called to go above and beyond. I do recognize there are seasons where we have to work a lot. I mentioned this gentleman from my church that's working 2 full-time jobs right now. I think he's in a season where that needs to happen. But long-term, I'm really encouraging him to make changes to his budget, to make changes to their spending habits, to even make changes in having teenage children that they have in the home, get part-time jobs potentially, so that he doesn't have to work 2 full-time jobs. See, if we're not careful, seasons turn into the new normal. I want to say that again. I think that's really important. Have you allowed a season in your life where you've told your wife, you've told your kids, we just need to get through this season? Has that drug on to where it's just the new normal? It's just life for you now. You know, do you get to sit in on your kids' band concerts or their debate tournament or their athletic competitions? Do you get to worship with your family on Sundays? Do you get to spend some leisure time with your family? Do you have time to do a weekly devotional with your family? Are you praying with your wife? Are you praying with your kids? And if you would say no to all those things, and the reason you would say no is I'm working too much, then you could have allowed that season to turn into the new normal. And honestly, guys, I don't think this is something where we can be the only one to judge if we're working too much. I really think this is an area where you and I can get tunnel vision, especially if you have the personality kind of like I do, where you're just going to grind it out and get it done. I was blessed that my dad, as a young man, taught me how to work hard. He built in me a good work ethic. I've got a lot of faults. The good Lord knows I've got a lot of faults, but laziness is not one of them. I've always just worked hard. Now, I don't physically work hard in the sense I'm not digging ditches all day long, but I work. And so I know there have been times in my life in ministry where I thought I had a good balance on things. I remember a few years ago going to dinner with our senior pastor and his wife, and he was asking me, you know, how is the balance? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you feel like you've got a good handle on the balance between ministry and your family? And I said, yeah. I answered really quickly, and I could tell my wife kind of had a weird reaction to that. And he noticed it too. And he said, how would you describe it? And she said, I don't think John realizes how many nights a week, you know, we don't eat dinner together, or how many nights a week he's home, but he's doing sermon prep, or he's making phone calls and he's not really engaged with me or with the kids. And that was hard to hear, but I'm glad she had the courage to say it. See, a ministry schedule can be unique. You know, most of my meetings with people are not during the day because they have a day job. So a lot of my evenings and weekends can get caught up in ministry. And, you know, that's okay, as long as I'm intentional about using other time during the week. You know, if that's taking my kids out of school for a lunch date, if that's taking my wife out for a lunch date during the middle of the day because I know I've got evening appointments that night, and maybe you need to do the same thing. Maybe you work a swing shift, or maybe you have a job where you're, you know, 12 days on and 7 days off, or 12 days on and 12 days off, or maybe you have a firefighter schedule where you're on for 48 hours straight and then you're off for 4 days. Like, you're going to have to think through how to find that balance. And you're going to have to think through how to be intentional about not letting work become an idol. But it is super important that we do that, men. It's super important that we know that we haven't allowed work to become more important than our relationship with God, and that we haven't allowed work to become more important than our relationship with our family. So I think that's a great question to ask your wife. Hey, honey, how do you think that balance is in my life? Do you think that I'm, you know, working hard and honoring God in the way that I work, but that I'm not allowing work to become an idol? I think you can ask your kids that too, but you know, obviously that needs to be an age-appropriate question. I mean, young children just don't understand the requirements of work. You know, they want you to be around all the time. They don't get it yet. So I do think hearing from our children is important on that, but I would certainly, you know, take that advice from your kids with a grain of salt. All right, the third and last thing I want to talk about for today is working with integrity. Now, working with integrity is the only way our labor pleases God. If we don't have integrity at our job, we are not working as unto the Lord. And this goes beyond just not lying to a potential customer. Working with integrity goes a lot deeper than that. There are a lot more applications to that. It does include that. That's certainly part of it. In fact, God is very blunt in Proverbs about his disdain for dishonesty in the workplace. Let me give you two examples. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. Proverbs 20:23 essentially says the same thing. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. Now, most of us don't work where we literally are using weights and scales to do business, but the principle is the same. And I want you to notice how strong the language is there. It says God detests these things. He absolutely hates them. So in whatever line of work you have, are you dealing fairly with the customer? You know, I just had a conversation with a man in my men's group, and we were just sharing about how all we really want when we're buying a new car is just to be treated fairly. Now, when I say new car, I don't ever buy a brand new car. I'm not judging any one of you who do. That's not my point. But I don't want a car payment. And so we always buy used cars so I can pay cash for them. And I'm just not in a financial position where I can pay cash for a brand new car off the lot. So we buy used cars. And whenever you're buying a used car, there's just always that fear that you're getting taken to the cleaners. Now, I get that car salesman and the owner of the dealership, I totally understand they're feeding their family too. I am not opposed to them making money off the purchase. I was in sales and recruiting for 16 years before I went into ministry, not in the automobile business, but still, I get it. And I was straight commission all those years. And it was a battle to work with integrity, to deal with the customer with integrity. So I understand where they're coming from. And again, I expect them to make some profit, but don't gouge me. You know, don't make an absurd amount of money on me, and don't not disclose something just to get the deal done. See, this idea of differing weights and dishonest scales doesn't just stop with a bold-faced lie to the customer. I think it also includes not disclosing things that we should disclose. I think it includes not looking for loopholes. In fact, Jesus talks a lot about this idea of looking for a loophole when we're being honest with someone. One of the places we see it is in Matthew 23. He is addressing the religious leaders in verses 16 and 17, and he says, "Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater? The gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred?" See, what was happening is they were looking for loopholes. It was almost like they were saying, "Oh, no, I had my fingers crossed." You know, that'd be the modern day translation, right? You make a promise to someone when you're a kid and you're like, "Oh, I had my fingers crossed." You know, I remember kids even saying like, "No crossies." Like, no crossies? What are you talking about? So that's what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, quit looking for these loopholes so that you're not bound by what you say. You know, there's another place in Scripture where Jesus speaks out against all these oaths in general because that's what they were trying to do. And he says, look, don't make an oath. Just simply let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, just follow through with what you say you're going to do. So in whatever way you deal with the public or you deal with the customers, hey guys, let's be honest. Let's work with integrity. And I also want to say this goes to how you deal with your employer. Are you honest on your expense reports? Are you trying to fudge them? If you're working remotely, are you working with integrity? Are you really working the hours that you say you're working? Or are you working part of those hours? Are you using those work hours to get personal stuff done? Now, you know, your boss may say, look, as long as the tasks are done, I know you're going to spend some time doing personal things and I'm okay with that. If they're okay with that, great. But if it's something that you know, if they were aware of it, that they wouldn't be happy, that they would write you up, that's not working with integrity. That's not working as unto the Lord. The reality is, guys, work, especially for us as men, it's a huge amount of our lifetime. Again, I don't know anyone who works 40 hours anymore. Almost every guy I know that works is working, you know, at least close to 50 hours a week. I know a lot of guys in the 60s and some guys in the 70s and 80s. Now, for those guys on that high end, I'd really challenge them, is that healthy? And are you just in a season or have you allowed that to become the new normal? But for any of us that work full time, it is a big chunk of our life. How would we not want such a big part of our life to be pleasing to the Lord? How would we not want to use that to bring Him honor and glory? So I just want to challenge you, work with a spirit of gratitude. Don't let it become an idol and work with integrity. I hope you'll take this and have this conversation with someone at work or someone at church who maybe is wrestling with their job or wrestling with whether or not to take a new job. This might be helpful in allowing them to discern God's direction in their life. Appreciate all of you guys taking the time to listen to this podcast and really pursuing God through this. And I pray that He will give you a heart that wants to work as unto Him.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.